today, which is really kind of about prayer. The story we're going to look at is in Matthew 15, if you want to be turning there. If you're reading along in Jesus the King, the account was from Mark, but the parallel account in Matthew has a few more details that I want to use from that account. And we're going to talk this morning about approaching the King. You got this little thing. If you're going to approach a king, how do you approach a king? What do you do the night before you're going to approach a king? And, you know, it probably gives you some reflective thoughts. You know, I'm going to get an audience with a king. What am I going to say? You know, how's the conversation going to go? What demeanor am I going to have? And that's kind of the approach. That's what we're going to talk about, is how do we approach the King of Kings? Let's look at it in humanistic terms for a minute. Okay, let's say you're going to approach the King of the Courts. There's this guy playing basketball right now called LeBron James, and he's got the nickname of King James. Yeah. And some of us who lived, you know, in a little bit, a couple decades ago, we might think this guy was king and not King James. There might be a debate, and there are debates about who's really king, you know. And so just imagine you were going to sit at a table. There's a fundraiser, and Michael Jordan's the keynote speaker, and you're going to be at his table. You and six other people, you're going to get to converse with potentially the King of the Court. So what do you do the night before as you're imagining this lunch? You're sitting at Michael Jordan's table. You know, what are you going to say to the guy? How are you going to approach that conversation? You know, maybe, you know, you think okay, what am I going to talk to him about? Well, you know, maybe I'll start with, hey, remember that game 7 that when you did? I remember that. That was so awesome. You were so great. Maybe say some flattering things to, you know, kind of bond with the king. You know, maybe you come with questions. You know, okay, let me ask some questions of the king, glean some wisdom. That'll bond us, you know. I'll ask him, so what, in all the things you've accomplished, what have you really learned about life? You know, some great big philosophical question. That'll really bond us. You know, maybe you're like, you know what, I'm going to ask him for money. You know, he's got all kinds of money. I got a great cause. We got this young couple, Peter and Anna Coupler, in our church, and we've got him for 2 years, but we want him for more than 2 years. I'm going to ask him for money. Tell him about my great cause. Maybe I'm just going to launch right into that. Maybe he's, you know, let me relate on a physical level. Talk about, you know, I played basketball once. And then you play out that one in your mind. See how that's going to go. Oh, really? What, Division I? No. What, college? Oh, well, no. Well, high school then? Oh, no. YMCA. Okay, then. Maybe don't lead with that, you know? How are you going to approach the king? What about this king? You know, King of the Jungle. How would you approach that king? It's like, well, you know, that depends. Is he in a zoo? You know, if he's in a zoo, I might approach him differently than if he's in the wild, and I am also. And then is he alive or is he stuffed?
Yeah.
You know, if it's a stuffed King of the Jungle, I might approach him different than if he's alive. And so we might want some more details about how we're going to approach that king. And then there's this king.
Oh, God.
Burger King king, you know, how are you going to approach this king? Now, to some degree, you might say, I'm going to approach him with a bunch of hand sanitizer. Because who knows who all the people he's run into. And maybe you'd approach him with, you know, knowing where your exits are, because he's just a little creepy. You know, it's like I got to approach him knowing my exit route. Or maybe you'd send an envoy because I really don't want to meet this person. He creeps me out. Who could know what you'd want to do when you're going to meet that king? But what about the King of Kings? The King of all things. How do we approach Jesus? How do we approach this king? You know, at the point of the story we're going to read here in a moment, Jesus has calmed the storm. He's commanded it to simmer down, and it did. He's healed many people of physical maladies. He's driven out demons. And that's a whole scene that's got to be a little freaky. He's taught religious people who have been so pompous and full of themselves and just quieted them down with wisdom that they can't even perceive. He's fed 5,000 people. One of his biggest supporters, John the Baptist, was just killed, say, a week ago. All this has gone on before this account. How are you going to approach this guy who's had this immediate history? How do you approach this king? What do you do the night before you're going to meet Jesus? Go to the next one. Approach is everything. You know, what do you start with? Start with some small talk about the weather? Hey, Jesus, kind of crazy weather we're having, huh? Oh, I guess you know that. Hey, the sunset yesterday, good job. Go with that. You know, give him some compliments. Maybe ask a few questions. You know, what questions do you want to ask? So, Jesus, I really want to know something. It's really been bothering me. What happened to the dinosaurs? I just got to know. You know, do you go to the dinosaur question? Do you just make a request? Let me just launch into my request. He's the King of Kings. Let me just launch into what I'm looking for. Do you come in, you know, I better be civil, politically correct. He's the king and I'm not. You know, maybe I shouldn't really speak up unless he speaks to me. Isn't that how it goes with kings? I'm not real sure. You know, what would go through our mind if we were going to sit at the table with Jesus over lunch, knowing who he was? You know, what we're going to talk about this morning in the story is ultimately, I believe, an eye-opener for prayer. Really ties into a lot of what Peter had to say. And I really think it ties in a lot with our prayer life. And I want you to think about your prayer life as we look at the story about this woman who approached Jesus. And really, it was a prayer. It was what's she's talking to Jesus. It's like a prayer. And what we can see from her heart and what we can see about our life and our prayer connection with Jesus, the King of Kings. So go to the next one. So the first one is, we should approach the king with tenacity. Tenacity is the quality or fact of being very determined. Anybody ever see an anti-squirrel bird feeder? Anybody got an anti-squirrel bird feeder? I've got one. Squirrels are tenacious. They're going to get the bird food. They're going to. Okay, I don't care what man devised to keep the squirrels out of it. They're going to find a way. The one I got in our backyard, it's got a little angled roof, and it's slippery so that they can't hang off the roof and get to the food. And then there's a little bar that the birds can land on, and it's got enough tension to hold the door open and a bird. But if something heavier is on the bar, it closes the door and they can't get the food. And so it's right out our window, so we get to watch our squirrels trying to defeat the anti-squirrel bird feeder. And they're hanging by their back feet, and they're reaching over the front, and their little paws are just missing it's just the right length. They just can't quite get to it, and they fall off to the ground. And then they crawl back up and try another thing. And then they go over to this thing, and they try to jump from that over, air, grab it, and off to the ground. And they've got all the time in the world. They're going to figure it out, right? One squirrel in particular figured it out. He launched himself from, I forget, the tree or from the post. He got the bar with his hands and sprung it, and it flung food out to the ground, and then he ate it off the ground. He's tenacious. He's like, I'm going to figure this out. I am very determined. Okay, that's how the squirrel approached the anti-squirrel bird feeder. Do we have that kind of attitude when we approach Jesus, the King of Kings? Let's look at Matthew 15 and verse 21. This is our story for the day that we're going to learn from, that we're going to glean some things about our approach to God, to Jesus, the King of Kings. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Jesus did not answer a word. So the disciples came to him and they urged him, send her away. She keeps crying out after us. Finally, he answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. She's on her knees. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yeah, you're right, Lord. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. There's a lot in this little story. And we're going to take, we're going to look at four different things in this little story about what happened with this woman. Go to the next slide there. What was she doing when she came to Jesus? How did she approach the King of Kings? She came to Jesus. She was crying out. She was vocal. She was loud. She was determined. She was tenacious. Help me. Have mercy on me. Jesus, I'm over here. Here I am. Here I am. I need to talk to you. She was a bother. She was bugging the disciples. He wanted her sent away. They wanted Jesus to send her away. She's bugging us. This is too much. She's making a scene. She keeps crying out. She won't stop. Can't you just shut her up? Can't you just send her away? We don't like this. We don't like her tenacious, determined, incessant crying out. We're feeling uncomfortable. Can you picture how they were feeling when they asked Jesus to send her away? Finally, Jesus does say something. I guess, he figured out she's not leaving. She's tenacious. She's determined. She's not going anywhere. All my disciples are beside themselves. They can't stand it. They need something to happen. She wasn't worried about whether she should approach Jesus or not. Because she should. She's not a Jew. You know, in that culture, if you're a Gentile, you're not approaching a Jewish rabbi. If you're a woman, you're not likely approaching a Jewish rabbi. There's all kinds of reasons why she shouldn't have been doing what she's doing. She's not politically correct at all. She's just determined. I don't really care. I don't care about what everybody says. I don't care about what anybody... This is about me and him. This is about me and Jesus. And I don't care what anybody else says, what anybody else is doing. This is about me and Jesus, and I'm going to get to him. I'm going to get an audience. I'm going to be a nuisance. I'm going to be whatever I need to be to get an audience, and I'm just... it's going to happen. That's the feeling you get from her attitude. So then he says, you know what? I'm not here for you. I got something to tell you. You've bugged me enough. You finally get a response from me. My response is, I'm not here for you. What's her response to that? Her response to that is, sweet! Are you kidding me? He just conversed with me. He just included me in his conversation. What he said is, I'm not here for you, and she's fired up. Because why? Because now we're dialoguing. She pushes her way to the front and kneels before Jesus. She was on the outside. She was being shunned. She was she had the aura of get rid of her, and now she's kneeling before the king. This is an improvement. What he said was, I'm not here for you. In her world, this is good. We're getting somewhere now. It's a pretty amazing kind of concept if you think about it. Is that how we pray? Is that how you pray? Are we tenacious with God? Or are we politically correct in our prayers? I don't know. You know, I don't know for you. Do we come before Jesus and we're like, Jesus, have mercy on me. I want you to move on behalf of my prayer. I don't deserve it. I know I don't deserve it. I don't really care. I'm here because of who you are and who, and you, I know who you are. I'm just here. I'm just on my knees telling you that I want an audience. How long do we cry out before we give up, before we say, what's the point? How long? Do we have a limit to how long we're going to pray, how long we're going to seek after God before we say, you know what, this isn't working, this isn't going anywhere? If the answer to our prayer is, the answer is no, are we like, well, I tried, and walk away? That's not what she did. The answer is no. Sweet! We're talking now! Something's happening! Is that how we pray? Do we think we're getting somewhere, even if the answer is no, because at least there's a conversation? Now I'm having a dialogue with the King. I'm not just out here asking for an audience. I'm actually having a conversation. How do we look at it? How do we approach the King? How is your prayer life in that regard? How does it feel? Does it feel like when you think to be tenacious with the King in prayer, does that feel awkward? Or does that feel right? I think it should feel right. This woman was tenacious. And Jesus didn't say once, you're bugging me. He didn't say once, you crossed the line. He never said, listen, you got to accept I'm not here for you and move on. None of those things happened. Jesus had nothing bad to say about this woman and the way she approached him, which I think could teach us something about how we approach God. Number two, she approaches her King with emotion. A natural, instinctive state of mind deriving from one's circumstances, mood, or relationship with others. There should be emotion when we approach the King. You know, kids approach parents with emotion. If they want a cookie, if they want an ice cream, if they want a puppy, there's a lot of emotions with a puppy. They aren't just neutral about it. It's like, hey, Dad, just thinking it'd be kind of cool if we got a puppy. Yeah, we're not doing that. Okay. That's not how it goes.
Not at all.
If you've ever had a kid that's asked for a puppy, that's not how they ask for it. Our kids wanted a puppy, and we were like, no, you can't have a puppy. It's not the right time. But we really, 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 how many was that? Really, 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 I mean, we really want one. I know you do, but we're not going to get one. Oh, but come on. I'll take care of it. I know you will. I know you think you will. But we're not going to get a puppy. But no, we really, 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 okay, come on. Get the siblings in. We all really, 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 they're all doing it in concert, want one, and we'll take care of it. We really, really, I mean, there's all kinds of emotions in this, aren't there? They're not neutral. They're invested. Their heart's invested. It's emotional. They approach what they're looking for in that with emotion. In verse 25, go to the next slide there. Verse 25, the woman gets an audience. She gets told that he isn't here for her. She pushes her way to right in front of Jesus, kneeling before him. And she says very simply, Lord, help me. She's emotional about it. She's not neutral about it. She's not before Jesus saying, I sure would love it if you could help me out here. No, she's not just determined, she's moved. Help me! I don't need a lot of words, I just need some help. Lord, help me! She was desperate. She was invested. She was kneeling, she was hoping, she was probably scared, she was excited, she was determined, she was, I don't know where this is going, but I'm in front of the King of the Kings and I'm desperate and hoping. Do something. Please. She's pleading with the King. Emotion. Is this how we pray? You know, I think sometimes we pray like that. And I think a lot of times, like Peter mentioned, and I noticed this about me as I was putting this lesson together. A lot of times my prayers are bland. I don't know how they get that way. Maybe it's just a natural state of us as people, as we lose our emotion, we lose our tenacity, and we just kind of get in this bland place. Maybe you don't, but I get there, and I realize as I was doing this lesson, I've been bland. I've been bland in my prayers to God. I'm going before the King of all kings, bland. Vanilla. Nothing wrong with vanilla, but it's kind of bland. I don't want to pray like that. She wasn't like that. She got an audience with the King of Kings. She approached him with emotion. I think we should too. I think Jesus would like that. He's looking for that. What's going on in here? What do you really care about? Because what you really care about, you got some feelings about it.
That's true.
What do you really care about? You know, I was praying this morning after putting this together, and I asked myself, I was praying to God, God, what do I really care about? What do I really want? What's really important to me? It's hunting season. I really want a big deer. I really want to get a big buck. I mean, I really do. But that's like, if there's tears of want, that's way down here. Mm-hmm. I want that on a physical, temporary scale.
Yeah.
But what I really want, is I want all my family to know God.
Yeah.
What I really want is I really want my neighbors to know God. What I really want the next generation of children, of all of those in the room that have children, I really want them to choose God. That's what I really want.
Mm-hmm.
What do you really want? And when you pray to God, does that come through? Because if it does, then there'll be emotion there. Number three, you've got to approach the King with humility. You know, kids are amazing because they understand humility. They demonstrate humility. A modest or low view of one's own importance. You know, we think about a kid approaching an adult. How many times bigger is an adult than a one-year-old or a two-year-old? We're like 10 times bigger. You know, now some of you are smaller than me, so you're not 10 times bigger, but I'm probably 10 times bigger than a lot of two-year-olds. How does a two-year-old approach this 10 times bigger being? What do they have to offer? You know, do they make a fair exchange? It's pretty one-sided. You know, if you're an adult, little two-year-old comes up, wants to engage with you. It's like, hey, I'm an adult. I got money. Look, right here in my wallet. I got a car. I got a house. I got food. What do you got? Well, I need my diaper changed. I need food. You got some? Well, I need it. I need a ride. You got a car. That works. I need a bath. Got the smelling. You're able. You know. A two-year-old, what does a two-year-old have? A two-year-old has needs. I need food. I need clothes. I need cleaned. I need hugs. I need dressed. I need taught. I need encouraged. I need someone to care for me when I'm sick. You know, I need all kinds of stuff. There's all this stuff I need. I'm not bringing anything to the table. But I don't care. Because I'm humble. I don't worry about, I'm not trying to make a fair exchange here. I'm not a being like you, adult. I'm a two-year-old. I don't try to be an adult. I'm a two-year-old. I'm not trying to be something I'm not. I'm a two-year-old. And in humility, they relate to beings bigger than they are. You know, here in this account, verse 26, Jesus says to the woman, after she's pleading for help, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. How do you feel if you're the woman? Depends on your disposition, doesn't it? Like, you can hear that and you could be so offended. You're calling me a dog? I'm not even a human to you? I am done with you. We are not talking anymore. Calling me names, demoting me to subhuman level, we are done. She could have taken that approach. She could have been offended. She could have walked out. I will not be called a second-class person. I will not be equated to a pet. I will not be put in the back of the line like I'm nobody. I will not be addressed like I have no rights, like I'm nothing. And I am out of here. She could have done that. She could have taken that approach. If she had taken that approach, what would be driving that approach? Pride. She's too proud. Jesus is making a point. He's not being demeaning to her. Because God is love. He's totally loving here. He's making a point. He's got a bigger purpose in mind. And with the words he used, he was making a point for her and for all the people listening. He had a big plan going on here. And she didn't get offended because she had humility. She didn't have any trouble at all. She didn't have one problem with what Jesus said to her. Instead, she came back in verse 27 and she agreed. She said, yep, yeah, Lord, you're right. I'm not arguing that at all. I understand that, you know, you're here and you got the Jews and I'm down here like a pet. I have no trouble with what you're telling me. All I want is a crumb from the table. That's all I want. Just give me a crumb, Jesus. I got no offense to anything you've said. All I want, just give me a crumb. That, from the table of the King of Kings, that's all I care about. Just give me a morsel. I'll be happy. She had humility. Do we approach God with humility? If Jesus said to us what he said to her, would we be offended? Would we miss out on a blessing from God because of our pride? You know, there's another version of pride where we can miss out on a blessing from God, and it's in the opposite direction. The other way is, yeah, I am a dog. Matter of fact, I'm probably the worst dog of all the dogs on the face of the dog earth. And we take what Jesus said, and it seems humble. Yeah, I am. You're right. You're right, Jesus. I'm a dog. Matter of fact, Now that you mention it, and now that I understand that you understand that I'm a dog, I'm going to just kind of slink off and leave because I'm not worthy of saying any more to you. And that seems humble. But the problem is that there's even pride in that. Because what's the problem with that? The problem with that is that we can, quote, humble ourselves to the point where we're not going to approach Jesus because we've deemed his love not big enough to deal with our lowness. You follow that? See, that's just as messed up as the arrogant approach. If we don't approach Jesus because we're not worthy, what we're saying is, God, your love's not big enough to cover my unworthiness. Which is way off base. In case you want to know. God's love is so big and so huge that as unworthy as you think you are, it even reaches to you. It even reaches to me. It is that humongous. So we should approach God with great tenacity and with great emotion and with great expectation, not because we're so worthy, not because we're too unworthy. Humble like a child. Lastly, approach the king with great faith. Complete trust or confidence in someone or something. You know, in verse 28, Jesus replies to the woman, "You have great faith." She was tenacious. She was emotional. She was humble. And she had great faith. And Jesus was impressed. Jesus had nothing but good things to say about this woman. The way she approached him, Jesus said, I'm all good with it. I'm great with it. I'm great with your approach. I'm great with your request. I'm great with your attitude. I'm great with what you want. I'm great with how you handled yourself. I'm great that you stuck in there when I made an analogy and you could have taken it and got prideful like you were a dog. I'm great that you stayed with me and you didn't give up on it because you didn't understand it. I am great with everything. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you what you asked for because you have amazing faith. Do we approach God like that? Go to the last slide. One more. There it is. Do we have all these things when we pray to God? You know, the woman had all these things when she prayed to God. And I think we should have all these things when we pray to God. God wants to hear from you. He desires deeply to hear from you. And when we talk to him, he wants us to be determined, tenacious. He wants us to have emotion and care about what we're saying. He wants us to have humility and realize that we're not God, but we're not so low that we can't talk to God. And he wants us to have great faith. Does that mean that I should ask God for things and pray to him and not have any doubt? We doubt all the time, don't we? You know, there was a story where a guy doubted and he said, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." Sometimes we've got to pray about our unbelief. But in all those things, God works for those who have a heart like that, that approach him. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to give everybody just a minute or two to pray personally, talking about prayer, for you to offer something up to God in light of what we're talking about here. Then we're going to listen to a song called "I Can Only Imagine." Many of us have heard it. You know, just the idea of, can we imagine approaching Jesus? What do we imagine about approaching Jesus? Then after that song, Dave Widener is going to come up, share a thought, say a prayer, and we'll pass the trays for communion. So we'll kick off, Matt, the song here in about 2 minutes. Let everybody have 2 minutes to pray.